And now back to Feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Welcome back to Feedback, the third and final hour of this Wednesday edition of the show. You're on air Town Square. Our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800 or toll free, 888-401-0459. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders along with Sean Tansky, and I'm very honored to have as my guest in the studio today, Reading City Council President Donna Reed. Donna, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
I always love it when you're here in the studio with us today. And let me get started first and foremost with you. You folks held a public meeting last night at Albright College's McMillan campus, and there were two issues that you had to address: parking on Hampton Boulevard and the visibility and safety issues at the intersection of North 13th and Pike Streets. How did that meeting go?
Well, I missed the early part of the meeting because I was at the RFILS opener.
Oh, no, you did get to the game.
I also serve on the stadium commission as a council liaison, so it's like divided loyalties. I've never figured out how our late state senator, Mike Opaque, was able to be at four places at once. But he had the magic touch that I don't seem to have, but I did get there a little late. I want to give some kudos out to Councilman Wesley Butler, who represents that area. Yesterday happened to be his birthday, so what a way to spend a birthday at a community meeting. Wes did a fabulous job. He's a valuable, wonderful part of our city council. And this has been an ongoing issue. Primarily, one of the major issues is the speeding on Hampton Boulevard. If you're familiar with Hampton Boulevard, a road built a century ago, wide road. Why they never put grassy medians in there when it was built, as we see on Reading Boulevard, Wyomissing Boulevard, Hancock Boulevard. We see that throughout the city and suburbs. That road is just a huge wide road. And of course, people pick up speed. It's called an arterial road. That's the name of it. And, you know, the question is pulling out from the side streets, the visibility, where there should be parking, where there shouldn't be parking, what can we do to make it easier, safer for people pulling out from those side streets? What can we do to calm the traffic on Hampton Boulevard? Is it worth looking at a grassy median being installed there? And there's grants out there. There's possibilities through DCNR and PennDOT and other places that should that be one of the decisions made to calm the traffic and also beautify the street. There's grant possibilities out there.
Okay.
It doesn't mean we'll get them, but they're there to explore. And there's also other things, you know, bringing the curb out a little bit, redirecting how the painting of the street is done. If you're familiar with Kenhorst Boulevard, that was done a couple years ago, a bike lane, repainting so that the two lanes of traffic have more visibly a constricted width in which to drive, which has really helped the situation on Kenhorst Boulevard. The issue here is we've had traffic studies done through McCormick Taylor to determine volume, which determines signage, stop signs, flashing lights, traffic lights, and the amount of traffic volume does not meet criteria established by PennDOT, which is therefore then a universal criteria that the Federal Highway Administration, all this is really, it's understandable, I get it, as someone who served in government for a long time, but that's no consolation to the neighbors and the community have seen last summer two particularly gruesome motorcycle accidents, one in which a decapitation occurred. Imagine outside your house. That's happening.
Wow.
On a lesser note, I mean, there's been many injuries. That's the human condition's the most important thing. But on another note, there have been people who have lost 2-3 cars because people spin out of control.
That were parked along the side. Wow.
And many folks talked about that. A local business that needs the parking alongside, you know, their business, because it's an R2 area, so there are some small businesses with with residents. It's mm-hmm. primarily R1, but there are some R2 things. If the parking is constricted, what happens to her business? You know, it's a long-established business, a second generation, actually.
Right. Oh, wow.
So there's so many issues involved and so much understandable emotion involved in it. You know, people that cars crash into their front yards and, you know, can I play there safely with my one-year-old grandson?
Oh, my.
Wondering if a car is going to crash.
Wow.
You know, those are the kind of things that are quality of life matters. And, mm-hmm. yeah, there's the federal highway criteria. How does that translate? State tends to supersede local control.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we do locally to do it? And do we just say, you know what, we're fed up. We're going to – council's going to take on us. We're going to create ordinances for the stop signs and let the chips fall where they may. But then, again, there's legal ramifications.
Sure.
If we do that and stop signs go up and it doesn't follow criteria, guess who gets sued?
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. I feel frustrated. I feel frustrated for the folks. I've encouraged last night, you know, get more petitions. There's already been petitions. And let's see what we can do. If we have to, you know, hopefully working with our state reps, Representative Rossi represents that area, mm-hmm. Senator Schwenk. If we have to go to the governor's office, then let's get a contingent of people and go to the governor's office and say, we need something. But
I'm going to have Judy Schwenk on the show Friday, actually. So
we'll bring this topic up with her.
I'm
sure she will address it.
Yeah.
Judy has been, so as Mark and Jahani and Manny have been as state reps, so helpful to us in the city. So I'm always encouraged something can happen, but totally understand the frustrations.
Timeline. What's the next step now? Now that you've heard the concerns about Hampton Boulevard, what's the next step?
Well, what can we do interim? Can we paint the crosswalks so that they're more noticeable? We could do some parking ordinances for line of sight. That doesn't necessarily help the racing, the speeding
right.
on Hampton
right.
Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
It may help with the pulling out from like 13th and Pike, 13th and Amity, all these different streets. But that doesn't solve the issue of the racing on Hampton Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do within our purview? Can we put grading on the pavement so that you feel that when you're driving, that it automatically slows you if you feel an impediment as you're driving? Speed bumps are probably unlikely.
Yeah, right.
Because
given that.
Mm-hmm. of snowplows
right.
and the danger, they can keep people from going slow, but they can also create additional issues for those who think they're better than a speed bump.
Right, yeah.
So there's... Nothing's ever simple, but I understand the frustration, and I live off Schuylkill Avenue. I see what happens and how fast the traffic goes there, even near the elementary school, and it
mm-hmm.
makes me crazy. And I know Councillor Nunez, who represents our area, feels much the same.
We got a couple of people on,
sure.
on the phone who want to talk with you.
Absolutely.
So let's go to Mary in Reading, who has a question for you. Mary, thank you for calling in. What's your question for President Reed?
Hi, thanks for having me on today. So I live in the city and have just been listening to some of the meetings and wondering, you know, we have a large population of non-English speakers and high Spanish speakers and you know, monolingual, in addition to other languages being spoken, and wondering what can be done for language access for, you know, public city meetings, particularly for council, so people can be aware and up to date of what's happening and, you know, able to participate easily.
Sure, and we've certainly discussed this. As you know, a majority of our elected officials at this point are of Latino
mm-hmm.
descent or background. The charter, while people can Google translate the charter, that will be done officially. There's a cost involved. We are looking at ways in which there can be, I mean, frankly, there should be both translation available that people can read as we're speaking. We have to look into the technology of that and how that can work. I know several of our counselors will translate something going as they go forward, as we talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
That's great for the majority of folks in the city, but for those of us who don't speak Spanish, it's hard to understand what's going on. It's a complicated issue because you want everyone to be understanding everything. So the technology that we installed, which was back in 2020 when everybody was trying to grab whatever technology they could so that we mm-hmm. could do Zoom, we're looking at upgrading that. And I think when that's upgraded, we'll be able to at least do closed captions, hopefully at least in Spanish. I mean, and it doesn't solve everything because there's other languages that are spoken in the city. You know, there's folks from West Africa that speak different languages there. We have a Romanian population. We have a Vietnamese population. We have 60 different nationalities represented in our city based on Census 2020.
Now she raises a good point because if my memory serves me right, even the agenda and the meeting minutes that appear online are just in English. Am I right
there? Correct. You can use like a Google translation or something, and I believe there's a navigation tool on the city website. I'd have to double check, but I believe they can become available.
Okay.
But I have to double check, so I apologize.
Gotcha.
Not being certain.
Okay. Mary, thank you for your call. I appreciate the question today. Let's go to Ernie in Reading, who's got a question for you. Ernie, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Council President.
Hi, Ernie.
I just want to comment on the Hamden Boulevard thing, and I think that when and until the state allows municipalities to use radar detection.
Yeah.
Are we going to change any of the speeding issues? Because not only on Hamden Boulevard do people speed, they speed in every municipality in the state, but yet only the state police are allowed to use radar detection.
It's a huge frustration.
And every time it comes up in the legislature, it just becomes a political football issue because the state's district attorneys and the state police unions block it.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, you live
at the same time, we need these valuable tools down on the local level. You know, one of the issues is that they always say, well, the municipality will use it as a revenue generator.
Yeah.
Well, they only get so much of the ticket anyway.
Right. Correct.
Ernie, I think we lost you there. Donna, did you want to address?
Yeah, and Ernie's right. I mean, that's it's a huge frustration. And Ernie, I was going to say, lives near Center Avenue. Mm-hmm. That has become a speedway. Mm-hmm. At Center Avenue, I think we had a car overturned at Center and Windsor a few days ago. How do you get your car overturned without going incredibly fast?
Right.
And I know friends who have had cars totaled along that area. Center Avenue should not be a speedway. Fifth Street should not be a speedway. Lancaster Avenue, Schuylkill Avenue. We have many of those where it would be, we can do timed enforcement. We actually have just gotten a grant that enables our police officers to do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different than radar, and they would have to explain the differential. But we're hoping that maybe that will set a tone if people realize their consequences. But we're seeing aggressive driving around here to an extent we've never seen it. And it becomes so apparent to me when I drive, even meeting friends in Bucks County or Montgomery or something, there is a differential. There is not the kind of aggressive driving we're seeing here in Reading and Berks County. And I don't know what is causing it. But it is clearly out of hand, people going through red lights. I don't know about you, but I'm always really careful. I don't want to get T-boned when I come out of an intersection.
Right.
And it shouldn't be like that.
In fact, I noticed that at the intersection right out here at 4th and Court. I never, when we get the green light on Court Street, I never make that right onto 4th Street until I have made sure that the traffic coming down 4th Street has come to a complete stop.
Absolutely, and that's what we should all do. I mean, it's unfortunate, but, you know, someone who travels Schuylkill Avenue every day because of where I live, right behind a Glenside school, I'm always cognizant of that because the numbers of people who just, I don't know why they think they have free rein. It really worries me with the little kids, you know,
absolutely.
At Glenside and at the magnet school as well. It's, you know, the unnice part of me would love to get out of the car and slam on their hood and tell them what I think, which is not something I could say here in the air, but you know, you're not going to get out of your car and create another scenario.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I did enjoy the other day somebody speeding past me, and then I got to the red light at West Windsor and Schuylkill, the four-point intersection.
Right, yeah.
They were sitting there waiting to turn left, and I just cruised through it 25, 50, you know, 35 miles per hour. And I waved to them. Like, I wanted to do other things with my fingers, but I did not. So this guy who thought he was a big deal, there he was sitting, and I was going straight through at Schuylkill.
One thing I remember when Richard Torinelli was police chief, and one of the last times that he was on this show while he was still police chief, he indicated to me that he was given the directive to study various dangerous intersections in the city. Did anything ever come of that study?
We do have a list of them. I can't give it to you off the top of my head.
I understand.
But I know that that's something that, you know, certainly is looked at by our police department, our new chief, who I would encourage you to have come on.
Has been on the show already.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mistake. I should have realized that.
That's okay.
I've been very encouraged with him and his philosophy of, you know, really digging into where the high crime and high traffic issues are, and I think you'll be seeing results from that. Again, it takes a little time to reorganize, but again, we have this new grant for the timing and all that kind of thing. So I'm very encouraged with Chief Vasquez and going forward.
Okay. There was an ordinance introduced Monday night of this week to place a referendum on this year's general election ballot. The question reads the following. Shall the Reading Home Rule Charter be amended to provide City Council with the ability to terminate department directors by supermajority vote? What prompted this ordinance, and what are its chances of passing?
Well, I actually brought something like this up in 2022.
Okay.
When I was District 5 representative, and my concern is that we play a role in approving department head placement positions.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, there is we have no say.
Mm-hmm. I think you said that the last time you were on the show.
I may have.
Yeah.
And two of the counselors brought this back up to me and said, can we put it on the agenda? And I said, certainly. You know, I certainly see the value of it. I still see the value of it. I know the mayor is not particularly happy about it, and I understand where he's coming from under this form of government. However, and it's not directed at any one person or any one administration. For someone like me who's been involved or served in every administration, from the Oppenheimer, McMahon, Spencer, Scott, and now Moran administrations, we've seen the good, the bad, and the indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is not directed at any one person. It's you know, certainly complaints come to us as counselors, and we refer to the charter and the fact that this is where our power stops. To me, it seems logical. If you have a say in hiring, you should probably have a say in termination. Again, that it should not be political, that it should be for cause. Because under this charter now that we have, if I'm the mayor and you're a department director and I don't like the color of your shirt, I can say thank you, but you're done because mm-hmm. I don't like the color of your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It can be that willy-nilly. Is it that way? No, it's not. But that's not a great thing.
Okay.
And when you look at council and you look at the council staff and the changing faces of council over the years, we have our chief clerk who has been there since 1996 with all the changes in counselors over the years, our deputy clerk a decade plus, our legislative aide 5 years plus. The continuity and the importance of that for stability is, I think, an example of why there should be more than one person making a decision.
With that said, I want to talk to you about the vote where by a 5-2 vote, a bill was rejected that would have amended the city council to allow an elected city council member to sit on the Reading Parking Authority Board. And I believe you and Councilman Chris Miller were the only two who voted yes for that bill.
We voted
you voted no.
No?
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, it was, I believe, Councilor Ventura and Councilor Baez who voted yes for
okay.
it.
Okay, all right. So I misunderstood the minutes then to the meeting.
Basically, the issue with that, and I understand why Councilor Ventura brought that to the agenda, and I'm glad she did, because we all have concerns about the parking authority. I
mm-hmm.
think if you work in the city, I think if you visit the city, if you are in the city, as we all are, there are concerns and viable concerns. And I certainly understand her point of view of bringing this forward. But I'm the only person who, sitting on council now, also sat in a parking authority for a few years when I was off council and I had gone back into the news and then back into private business.
Okay.
And it's very clear to me that you can't do both
mm-hmm.
because conflicts of interest, you're as a board member, you would be privy on the parking authority side to executive sessions as you would be with council to
mm-hmm.
executive sessions. Sometimes businesses issues overlap. Where's your loyalty going to be? Where I mean, I truly believe everybody would do the right thing, but it is a divided loyalty, and it's a murky area. And it just, from my perspective and my experience, would never have made sense to serve on both in a visibly, in a an approved voting capacity.
Okay.
So I do understand, and I appreciate her interest, and I think that was important, but I just don't see how it would work. Obviously, there were five of us who had the same concerns. It doesn't preclude us at some point in time doing an investigation. If something's really, really off and we're worried, we as council have the ability to do an investigation.
Okay. We've got another caller, another listener who has a question for you. Pablo is on the line. Pablo, good morning. What's your question for Council President Donna Reed?
Hi, Council Donna Reed. I'm a New Yorker transplant here in Pennsylvania in the summer 83. I think I'm more now a Pennsylvanian than
a
New Yorker.
Well, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yes. I don't live too far away from EEU. I bought my house couple blocks away from it when I was 16 years old. I was
wow.
in 1985. I'm the oldest one living in my neighborhood.
Wow.
But my neighborhood went from good to bad to great again. But what I've been seeing now more in the city, in my, and that, God bless me with a nine-year-old, sometimes we're driving and we see these four-wheelers and motorcycles flying with no place, no nothing. They're just eating lights, going between cars. And just yesterday, I was coming from City Park with my son, and the same thing passing right past the police station with no ends or buts. Can anything be done about that?
Well, you're certainly not alone in your concerns, and I agree with you. My son and his family live right off Lancaster Avenue, and what we can see from their house is astonishing. And I live off Schuylkill Avenue. The disregard these folks have for pedestrians, for motorists, is astonishing. I believe there was some kind of converging of folks up in City Park over the weekend with, you know, loudspeakers, with the dirt bikes, with, you know, the whole circular area there almost precluding traffic from going through. But I know our police are aware of it. We have a policy that if we can get these dirt bikes and they're not legal, if they're not, ownership is not proved, We do have a board that rules on it, seizes them, and they are destroyed. The question is, and I understand where the police are coming from, and I certainly understand the frustration because we all see it. You especially see it downtown. The police don't want to engage in a chase that could create a worse situation.
True. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're trying in their best way to find out, and this is where you as an anonymous source could be helpful. Is there a place in your neighborhood where they're being stored, that people are converging and coming out in a afternoon or evening? And if you can provide, and you could do it anonymously to Crime Alert or to the police department, a source of where these are being stored and being utilized, we can then, our police can then do some investigations. So I would encourage you to do that. Again, if you go via Crime Alert or through the police department, your identity would not be shared.
Pablo, thank you for the call and for the question. Appreciate that today. And in the few moments remaining, you've got a couple of things coming up today.
We do. We have this afternoon on Miltimore Street, two more Habitat houses that are being dedicated. The owners will be taking ownership of them today. And
oh, that's
Habitat
cool.
has done amazing work down at the Buttonwood Gateway area.
Right.
I encourage everyone to go down and see these beautiful new homes and the proud homeowners. And you know, as Pablo said, talking about bringing a neighborhood back, what is being done down there is fabulous. And it's an important part of the city. It's a gateway to the city, to West Reading.
Right.
All the businesses that people can either bike to, walk to from there, the beauty of the area right near the river. It's kudos to Habitat and to those folks who, with their sweat equity and their learning finances and home ownership needs, the volunteers that help build the houses, it's always a very happy day when we're able to be there. We have the upcoming inauguration of Glynis Fitzgerald, Alvernia president, on Friday, so we're very excited about that.
She'll be the eighth president of Alvernia,
yes,
if I remember correctly.
And all the good that Alvernia has done for our community.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
We're excited about that. We have visiting students from Reutlingen, our sister city in Germany, who
are
at Reading High School right now. So we'll be, the mayor and the administration and myself will be hosting a little pizza party for them on Friday morning, and we're happy they're here. There's just so much going on. There's
you had a visitor last night.
On Monday night. Yes, we had a mayor from Zambia in Africa, and she was, and I apologize, I don't have her name in front of me, and nor do I have the district that she represents, but she's the first female mayor of that particular district in Zambia, and she was gracious, sweet. She sat, the mayor couldn't be there at the meeting, so she sat in the mayor's chair.
Oh, my.
Our managing director made a little nameplate for her. So And she was just incredibly gracious and kind and decent, and I hated to see her leave, even though I knew her for an hour. I hated to. I know she's like probably just about on her way back to Zambia now.
And you told me off air why she was here in the area.
Yeah, she was through International Women's Month, which was March. She was doing some tours of parts of the United States, and Reading somehow got on her radar screen, and we're very grateful.
Oh, that's cool.
And she invited us all over there, and I'm very tempted. Let me tell you, I've never been to Africa. It's always been mysterious and entrancing to me, but, you know.
Oh, my.
And just one other thing I quick want to mention is Axel Noble, which is based in Greater Lower Glenside, as I like to call it. They had a rededication of their facility. They put about $30 million into it. They're hiring. Oh. It's a fabulous facility. It's part of an international conglomerate that does $10 billion globally.
Whoa.
$3 billion in the U.S., and out of our plant, $300 million.
Nice.
With 5,000 customers, and they create powder coatings in 3,000 different colors, applications all over the way, and a little history note here.
Huh?
Powder coatings, the genesis, the beginning of those, Greater Lower Glenside off Columbia Avenue, the precursor to when it was Roman Hawes and all the others.
Oh, my.
So that's another little star in Reading's.
Oh, that's cool.
Reading's firmament.
I like that. Donna, thank you.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here, and I appreciate your interest and the viewer and the listeners' interest in the city of Reading. And please know that you can call the council office. You know, we'll do our best to get back to you, and we're well aware of some of the frustrations that have been voiced here, and we've got some good folks there who will do their best to help out.
Reading City Council President Donna Reed this morning. Donna, thank you again. Appreciate
thank
you. That. You enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
Good morning to everybody. Thank you.
We'll be back with more of Feedback on this Wednesday morning in just a bit. Stay with us.
Serving Barnesville, Schuylkill Haven, Tremont, and all of Schuylkill County. This is News Talk 830, WEEU.